Support for this podcast comes from the Fletcher School of Global Affairs at Tufts University. To start your future as a global changemaker, you must have context across fields like international business, cybersecurity, energy policy, and more. Don't just study global affairs, shape them. Visit fletcher.tufts.edu.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. With bans on large gatherings and so many people self-isolating at home, we wanted to take some time to reflect on how the coronavirus is affecting religious and faith communities in Greater Boston and New England, and how it's affecting individual people's faiths. So we've assembled really a wonderful panel to help us do that. You can hear I'm excited about it. We've got Thomas Groom on the line. He's a professor of theology and religious education at Boston College, past director of the Church in the 21st Century Center. He's also the author of Faith for the Heart, A Catholic Spirituality. Tom Groom, welcome.
Thank you, Tiziana. Lovely to be with you.
Also with us is Sheikh Yasser Fahmy, instructor on Muslim studies at Harvard Divinity School. Welcome back, Sheikh Yasser.
Thank you so much for having me.
And joining us via Skype is Rabbi Claudia Kramen, senior rabbi at Temple Beth Zion in Brookline. Welcome back, Rabbi.
Thank you so much, Tiziana, for having me.
And you, call us. Do you belong to a church, synagogue, mosque, and you can't go anymore? How are you coping with being away from your faith community? Or maybe you're not religious, but you're thinking about how we connect to each other spiritually in these strange and trying times. Be part of the conversation. 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Or you can tweet us at Radio Boston. Let me just begin by asking each of you, how are you? Go ahead, Rabbi Claudia.
Sure. It's good to be here. And I'll start by apologizing, but it's a way to say how I'm doing, that with me in the same room is my little one, my 4.5 years old. She's busy watching TV, so hopefully she will not join us in the conversation.
She would not be the first child who has in the last couple of weeks, Rabbi Claudia.
Exactly.
Don't worry about it.
So to say that this is part of what we are all doing, which is juggling both being in our work and trying to serve and do what I myself do what I can for my community as a rabbi, and also being with my children and trying to juggle it all. And it's exhausting, but it's wonderful, and I feel incredibly grateful to be able to be of service at these incredibly hard times. It's to be able to serve my community, to be able to bring together community in a time of physical distancing feels an incredible privilege, and I'm humbled by the challenges.
Thank you for that.
A lot of anxiety and fears, but trying to hold into the hope.
Sheikh Yasser, how about you?
I'm doing very well by the grace of God. I mean, it's as the rabbi was mentioning, I think this reality that's come upon us has forced us to pivot and shift and become more malleable in so many ways in terms of how we are offering our services as faith leaders. And so I've learned to, you know, to pastor, to teach, to preach, to counsel all from one chair and to do that through the internet and through all these different social media platforms. So this is definitely a new reality. Simultaneously managing my children and homeschooling and with my wife and her work. And so it's been a profoundly impactful and humbling reality to see how kind of this manifestation of this reality has humbled us collectively and has forced us into this space to kind of just work in a very different way.
And Tom Groom, let's check in with you too.
Thank you, Tiziana. And it's lovely to be back on the air with Sheikh Yasser and Rabbi Claudia. I think we were on before, the three of us.
Yes, you have been together before.
Yes, thank you. And for having us back. I think our first responsibility, this has become clearer to me as I think about it and pray about it, is to reach out to those in need, whatever the need might be. So I have found myself sending emails to old friends, and I mean not the Irish sense of endearment, but old, chronologically old friends, people in their 70s, 80s, 90s, who are alone or who are lonely, and just reaching out to them with a phone call, with an email. I've been trying to send about half a dozen emails every day that I wouldn't typically send, and people that I haven't been in touch with for quite some time. And I'm finding just tremendous response from old friends writing back and saying, oh, wonderful of you to write, blah, blah, blah. But it was my way of saying, we're caring for you, we're rooting for you. And I suppose those of us who have family to live with, you know, the confinement of the home and all the rest of it, it can be difficult and irritating, and we can get on each other's nerves. But thank God we have each other. I'm thinking of people who are alone and who are older and perhaps don't have people dropping in or, you know, grandchildren stopping by and so on, to reach out to them, especially to the lonely, because I think with the mandate to not go out in public and so on, and to stay at home, this is difficult, yeah, especially on people who are home alone. So I think reaching out to them, but then their needs for food and so on, and helping them pick up some groceries and what have you, I've done some of that as well. It also has sent me to the end of another moment, back to the scriptures in a way that that I should be better at. Like, I mean, as an old Catholic, I think we've always had an attitude that, you know, the Mass, the most important part of the Mass is the Eucharist, you know, the liturgy of the Eucharist, the liturgy of the Word and the liturgy of the Eucharist. But old traditional Catholics like myself are basically raised to think that really the most important part of the liturgy is the liturgy of the Eucharist. But not having access to it now, and I have been logging on to my parish church, St. Ignatius at Boston College, for the televised Mass, but it's a whole new appreciation of the liturgy of the Word and the importance of the Word and spending time with the Word. And so that I think there can be a grace in that for us, and especially, as I said, for old Catholics like myself, who would typically tend to think, well, the Eucharist is the most important part. Well, it is important, of course, but so is the liturgy of the Word, so we can reclaim that.
Let's pick up a call now, 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. We have Nathan on the line from Holliston. Hi, Nathan.
Hi, how are you?
Well, and you?
I'm very good. Very good. Thanks for taking my call. I guess I just wanted to, I'm a Unitarian Universalist minister, First Parish in Sherbourne, and we serve many of the area towns out here in Metro West Boston. And what's been striking to me over the last, we've had three Zoom services the last three Sundays, is how many people, both in our community and also people who have moved away, either from college or just moved away to retire, how we've kind of regathered our nexus of community through this new platform. And we had this virtual breakout coffee hour time on Sunday, and I was with a couple I hadn't seen in 8 years because they moved to Florida.
And zoomed in to join the community here?
Absolutely. We put a big sign in front of the church for the community at large, too, to join us online. We put the website up and the link. And it's just been, you know, it's a terrible time for all the reasons that your guests have commented, but it's also provided an immense sort of clarification of our mission and purpose, which is to gather people together and remind us of our purpose together to, I think as your last guest said, to help those in need and to be there for one another. So as a minister, I got to say, it's been the old-fashioned tools of ministry to reach out and connect and gather people together. It's been clarifying and one way at least, really wonderful.
That's really refreshing to hear, Nathan. Thank you. Rabbi Claudia, are you doing online services? Does what Nathan say resonate with you?
Yeah, definitely. We are doing online services both for our Shabbat weekly services on Friday night, and we have added on Saturday. By now, we are doing every morning service, a check-in. We call it a Boker Tov TBZ. In Hebrew means good morning TBZ, the name of our congregation. And we gather for prayer for the first 30 minutes in the morning and sing together and pray for healing and add names of people for healing. And then says the mourners' prayers for mourning. And it's been incredible to be able to do that. We have added prayers, a service for healing once a week, and classes every night, and other opportunities to connect, all mostly via Zoom. And I, like the caller just said, the minister that just called said, it's been incredible to bring people, not only the people that we often will come to our services, but people from all over the world. We have a congregant living in France now, so she comes and join us, and people that have moved to Florida or to New York. So this has been an incredible blessing. And one of the things I'm thinking about, and it's connected to what Thomas Groom was saying before, is that the most important thing is to think about how can we be together during this time of physical distancing. And I've been very strong of calling it physical distancing and not social distancing, because hopefully this is a time of social connection and coming close to one another. And we cannot be together physically, but doesn't mean, and thankfully with all the technologies we have that cannot be together. I've been making phone calls, 20 to 30 phone calls a day, if I can, to congregants, especially calling the elderly in our community, checking how are they doing. Myself and the board of directors of our congregation have made a commitment to make sure that everybody gets a phone call, and we have organized our community in clusters to make sure that everybody has someone, a team leader, that is checking on them and bringing, taking care especially of the elderly, to bring groceries and food whenever it's needed. And I'll add one more thing, which is we had a 12-year-old, her name is Amira Sky, that organized the children to make phone calls and create buddy systems with people in our community that live alone or that are isolated. And it's been an incredible opportunity for strengthening connection.
Sheikh, you've heard so much there, and I'd just like to invite your reflections.
Yeah, I mean, I have to say that it's pretty heartwarming to see how everyone's kind of trending in the same direction, which is the spiritual connections between individuals have been, I think, far more profound over these past couple of weeks than I've seen in the past. You know, I've been on every single imaginable platform that I've never been on before. The phone has certainly been used a lot more, WhatsApp and text messages and Zoom and Facebook and everything. And I have to say, I mean, people are connected in a way and are ready to serve and love and care and spread joy and mercy in ways that are unprecedented. And I think it's one of the profound graces and blessings of times of calamity and hardship. I speak daily to doctors, Muslim doctors, who are, you know, in pretty much every single hospital in the greater Boston area. There's a lot of Muslim doctors, physicians, and I check up on them regularly. Also, you know, people in the city, and you know, as we talk, and you know, I talk about them, and kind of just a little bit of counseling and pastoring. They go and tell me, you know, like everyone says that, you know, medical doctors are, you know, needed in this time ever more than ever, you know, than has been, that's certain, but also spiritual doctors are also needed to be on the front line. And so it's been a time for everyone to kind of stand up and bear witness and lean in and be present. And that's kind of the message that I would share with everyone. You know, this the Prophet Muhammad, he has a saying where he says that two blessings that many people take for granted are health and time. And for the majority of us, although there are percentage who are certainly struggling and going through a lot of difficulties, and our hearts are there for them and to reach out to us at any time, but a lot of us, we have health and we have time. And though that health and that time really has to be used to ask the bigger questions in life that this kind of reality has forced upon us about, you know, our lives, our salvation, this life, the afterlife, etc., but also thinking about how we can be of genuine service to not only the creator, but the creation.
I really do hear common themes between all three of you. Yeah. So, Rabbi Claudia, let me come back to you for just a moment, and then I'd like to pick up one more call before we go to a break.
Yeah, sure.
Go ahead.
So I wanted to say something about what we just heard, and to think about the use of those of us that have privilege, and how can we use our privilege in the best way possible to serve others that don't have it. So I keep speaking about this with my community, about the fact that many of us thankfully have homes to be in, and many of us, not all of us, continue to have our paycheck coming every month. And how do we think about the privilege and the blessings we have, and to make sure that at this time more than ever, we take care of those in need, both basic, starting from our own, the people who we often, you know, my daughter is not going to daycare, but I'm making sure that we continue to pay for the daycare tuition, and that anybody that we often take care of and help financially, that we can do that even if we're not using those services. But also thinking, and this I wear the hat of, I'm a board member of the Jewish Community Relations Council, JCRC, and I know that the Jewish community is continuous mobilizing the larger community together with interfaith community to those who are in dire needs, you know, including like bonding immigrants out of detention centers, making sure that those most in need get what they need. So right now, having the even I can complain about the kids and the work and the workload, but I have my computer, I have my house, I have my food, I have my spouse, I have health, I have blessings, and so many people don't have that. So now the call is also to really go out of our way in any way we can to help those in most need.
Thank you, Rabbi Claudia. So stay with me, please, as well, Tom Groom and Sheikh Yasser Fahmy. We'll grab some calls as soon as we get back from the break. For the rest of the show, we're going to continue to talk about how faith, religion, religious communities adapt and evolve and play an important role during the coronavirus. We still have our panel, Thomas Groom, professor of theology and religious education at Boston College, Sheikh Yasser Fahmy, instructor on Muslim studies at Harvard Divinity School, and Rabbi Claudia Kramen, senior rabbi at Temple Beth Zion in Brookline. What I want to do is take a couple of calls right off the bat, and then Tom Groom, I'm going to turn to you after these calls. 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. We've got Janavi on the line from Newton.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Yes.
So I'm from the Hindu faith, and I have been teaching a workshop with the Art of Living on meditation for the past 20 years, and this goes beyond one's religion. But right away when this happened, I kind of felt the need to just jump online and teach meditation for free for every morning at 8 and noon and 8 p.m., and I just felt like this gave people the opportunity to feel the presence of God within them. And what it has done really on one level is that we're so used to going to a temple to feel like, oh, I have to go visit God at a temple, whereas, you know, one can feel that presence of God by meditating and going within. And group meditation has really, really helped, because even if one's trying to meditate on one's own, it's like the mind goes all over the place. But with guided meditation, it's been easier for everybody to connect within. And so I find that that has been super, super helpful
for
a lot of people.
Wonderful.
Another thing that the Hindu community is doing, which is great also, is like even the rituals. They'll say, okay, you can stay home with your children and offer water or offer, you know, rice and do the offering at home while it's being chanted virtually. So all of this has been really helpful.
Thank you so much for that call, Genevieve. I'm really happy to have your voice in the conversation. I want to pick up one more call, Kathleen from Pepperell. Kathleen, go ahead.
Oh, hi there. Thanks for taking my call. I go to the First Parish Church of Groton Unitarian Church, and I feel our minister, the Reverend Aaliyah Kemmler, before any of this happened, she has such an exquisite gift of knitting us all together as a community and of having us all understand at our core that we belong to each other. And so when this happened and we're not able to congregate in our church on Sunday mornings, we're still connected. It's part of our identity. And I work in healthcare, and I have received so many phone calls and emails and just people checking in with me. I feel held. I feel lifted up. And I feel part of this. It doesn't feel different to me. The connection does not feel different.
I'm glad,
we're
Kathleen.
Having our services. Yes, we're having our services on YouTube on Sunday mornings, and then we have coffee hour by Zoom. And she reads a poem. She reads a children's story every day. So the continuity is there and the connection is there. The technology is new. You know, we're all trying to figure out this technology. But in terms of the commitment to each other and the connection and the community, that's solid.
Thanks, Kathleen.
You're very welcome.
I'm going to pick it up from there. And I especially love to hear that as a healthcare worker, you're feeling held and cared for by your community. Tom Groom, let me just invite you to reflect on what you heard from those two callers.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, well, let me go back to what Genevieve was saying, because in the Christian tradition, Catholic tradition especially, there is a strong tradition of contemplative prayer, of centering prayer, which is very, very similar to what she was describing. We also have a strong tradition of meditation. I often tell my students, contemplation is listening to, meditation is talking to God, contemplation is listening to God. And in meditation, what I've found and what I've found helpful in these days in my own prayer time, it's a very simple process. I usually begin it by sitting down in the morning time, putting on my coffee, and then sitting down with the scripture readings of the day, especially with the gospel, the beautiful gospel today from John chapter 8, the great story of Jesus and the people talking, wanting to stone the adulteress and Jesus defending her. It's an extraordinary story and inspiring. To sit down with that and to first of all to say a prayer to God and open your heart and mind before God and check in, as it were. But then I also pause to see what is the issue, what are the issues, the questions, the joys, the sorrows, the fears, the hopes that are in my life at this particular time, and just to recognize what I'm going to bring to the text, whatever the text might be. It could be from the Hebrew Scriptures, it could be from the Christian Gospels, wherever one finds the resources. But this morning's reading was particularly powerful. And then I always approach the readings trying to imagine that there is something here for me. There's a word, there's a line, there's a verse. There's always something in the readings of the day, in the common lectionary that we use in the many of the mainline Christian churches. There's always a word there for me. And I pause with that word or line or verse and let it sink in and then talk to God about it and then raise up the prayer of my heart, whatever I need to pray for, pray about, or give thanks for, and by then the coffee is usually ready. It doesn't take very, it doesn't take long in the morning, but I've just found it a very sustaining way to approach the beginnings of the day, and I recommend that type of meditation. Genevieve was talking about her tradition, which I see is more contemplative, and that you have that in the Christian tradition as well.
Tom, let's turn to Sheikh Yasser here.
Very powerful.
Yeah, let's turn to Sheikh Yasser here, and let me ask, in your tradition, what resonates from what you're hearing from Tom, what you heard from Genevieve, the caller?
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, in the Muslim tradition, these moments, just like many other moments, are moments of deep contemplation and consideration. And I would want to leave the listeners with one word, which is reorientation. I think that one of the big realities that's transpiring today, I mean, in my Harvard class this past Wednesday over Zoom, we're usually talking about philosophies and isms of the modern age, etc., and reconciling that with Islamic philosophy and thought. But it just seemed that like all of these philosophies and isms kind of didn't hold muster, and everyone was thinking of very existential big questions about their lives and where they've been going, where they are going. And you know, I think that as human beings today, we have a lot to reconsider. We have a lot to reconsider about how we've treated others. Have our lives been more self-centered, or they have been more selfless, or not? You know, you look at the whole reality around supermarkets today, and kind of some of the things that I think in terms of our general character, we want to reconsider how we treated the environment. I mean, the environment perhaps has been crying for many, many, many years. And now, you know, it's kind of getting some healing potentially. And so I think that, you know, these times of deep introspection and reorientation, they help us redefine the goals that we have in life, the directions that we've been taking in life. You know, we've hyper-prioritized, for example, our careers, our jobs, etc., where it has transitioned away from just being the thing that we have to do to maintain our economic and social well-being to almost an identity. But now our jobs don't really have that kind of interest any longer. You know, in our tradition, the Islamic tradition, you know, taking care of your children and taking care of your husband or your wife, or taking care of the basic necessities of the home, your parents, etc., these can be from the highest order forms of ritual worship. So I just want to leave the listeners and all of us, really myself first and foremost, that perhaps it's a time to really rethink and reorient our priorities, the way we've been living, and perhaps it hasn't been a sustainable way of living and a really good and harmonious and spirited and merciful form of living. And maybe this is a sign from God for us to make some serious correctives in the direction that our lives have been headed in.
So Tom and Rabbi Claudia, Sheikh Yasser just gave a parting thought to our listeners. We have about 60 seconds left. which gives me about 30 seconds from each of you to do the same. Rabbi Claudia, I'll come to you first. Just briefly, a parting message for our listeners.
So I just want to stay on what the Sheikh said about priorities and think about what are the things that are bringing light right now that we can focus on. I want to share quickly that I was able to officiate a wedding last Thursday of a couple in our congregation that
I saw that in the Boston Globe.
Exactly. And it was an amazing opportunity to be able to do that and hold holiness and sanctity in a time of so much despair and darkness. We did it in a park with all the rulings we needed to do, of course, of physical distancing, but to shift our priorities, figure out what is really important and how can we bring the best gifts of our lives to help the world and to take care of others. And right now, taking care of others saves lives. So physical distancing saves lives, and we have to take that incredibly seriously.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I want to make sure there's time for Tom Grimm to get one thought in, too. Tom, go ahead. Not at all.
Just the thought that, well, the reflecting on what the Sheikh was saying, what Rabbi Claudia was saying, it brings home the truth that God can draw good out of this kind of evil and suffering. I mean, God does not cause it at all. I never would imply that. But yet God can bring good things out of tragedy. And so they're kind of backhanded blessings. And maybe it does help to reorient us and help us to figure out what our priorities are and are they life-giving for not only for ourselves but for other people as well.
Tom, thanks so much. I'm sorry, I got to interrupt you there. That's Tom Grimm of Boston College, Sheikh Yasser Fahmy of the Harvard Divinity School, and Rabbi Claudia Kramen of Temple Beth Zion in Brookline. Thanks to the three of you. That's our show for today. I'm Tiziana Deering. This is Radio Boston.